Pacifica, Bill Hendrick.
We have been fighting this issue, this problem that's facing Arizona probably for the last 15 years.
I'm Tim James. Why do our politicians make us give drivers
licenses? How many times a day you check it?
A lot.
Yeah.
I've been receiving frequent briefings from members of my cabinet.
Because size does matter.
That's hatred, man. That's evil.
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass. Vernon Dozier joins us, an educator for Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, on the board of Belmar Academy, a private college prep high school. We're going to talk about the reintroduction of home economics, at least into their curriculum. They may have it in some schools. It's been a long time since I've even heard that phrase, home economics, but generally it was a class that the girls took to learn a little bit more about how to keep a home, I guess. Plus, New York police tell parents that their son is dead, but he isn't. So that's the bad news and the good and the really, really, really good news right there. 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-PHIL, and are online at philhenryshow.com, where you can watch live streaming audio, listen live, or watch live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio as we perform this show every night. And when we hit the road for the Caribbean next week, we will have daily video blogs, video cast updates for you. So not only our best of material, but online, our video will be a fresh, brand new show for you every night from the road. So check it out there at philhenryshow.com. Vernon Dozier joining us, who is not only the varsity football coach, the health and science teacher, a math teacher, also a member of the board at Belmar Academy, and he joins us from Glendale this evening. How are you, sir?
Very good, Phil. Always a pleasure.
Tell me, when I first read this about home economics being so-called reintroduced into the curriculum at your school, I guess I had the same thought that a lot of people would have, and that is, wow, that's sort of 1950s and Betty Crocker and Leave It to Beaver, and you know, our young ladies now we're training to be doctors and scientists and everything that we're training the boys to be, right?
Well, there's no question about it, Phil, and we're not looking to return to the days of Leave It to Beaver or Betty Crocker or any of this, but what we do know is we're living in very difficult economic times, and we are challenged, I think, more than ever before, to come up with solutions to the economic problems that we've got. You can look at home economics from a lot of different points of view. I don't look at it as a class that teaches girls how to boil water or how to cook or how to necessarily keep a house, because that's their job. I look at it as a class that refreshes the skills of young women who still, believe it or not, Phil, in this day and age of 2010, are the primary home care people in a couple, in a family.
The women are.
The women are. They are the primary home care custodians, if you will. It's not that we encourage that, but that seems to be how it continues to fall into place, even in modern married couples. Now, that's not to say that men can't be excellent at keeping a home or the economics of a home or the kitchen or just the regular home care. It's just that women have traditionally filled those roles, and those things are very difficult and sometimes are very hard to give up. It isn't that anybody is consciously holding on to it.
It's just sort of like it's the muscle that we've been exercising for so long.
In a manner of speaking, yeah, we've had these roles that we've played for so long, it's difficult for us to stop playing them. Our home economic classes, though, are more geared towards something that we think is a lot more modern, a lot more immediate, and that is the real estate slump that the country is in. And this was something that I went to our headmaster, Jim Corwin, and I also spoke to a number of people. Rachel Sinch, who is the dean of girls, and I said, I believe that we can kill two birds with one stone if we reintroduce home economics. We teach them a little bit about real estate sales, what has been going on in this country with the lack of real estate sales, the lack of home sales, new home as well as old home sales, and maybe generationally we can eliminate a problem to...
Now tell me what this has to do with real estate, the reintroduction of home economics.
Well, what it does is you get back to the basics of selling a home. When you sell a home, you sell a home from the standpoint of price, you sell a home from the standpoint of location, and then there is something that's called, there's curb appeal, and then there's, of course, livability, and that is when you walk into a house. Now, this is not an area that I know much about from being a teacher, but I just common sense, because I've lived in and I've sold a lot of houses, that when you go into a house and you're looking to buy a house, and you walk in and it looks as if no one in the place really knows how to take care of a house, if you know what I mean. In other words, the carpet is not vacuumed, the kitchen is filthy, and this is one of the major reasons why we're not selling houses.
One of the major reasons why we're not selling houses is because people don't seem to, they don't perceive themselves to be able to afford it.
Well, there's something you just said, perceive. The price is right. The loans are available. The interest rates are at rock bottom. So why aren't houses moving? Well, you have to get a little bit more into the psychology of it. Houses are not moving. I think people have got the money. But houses are not moving because when you walk into a home these days, most women don't know how to keep a home in a way where you would be comfortable to sit down and have a conversation. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, if you walk into a home that is beautifully kept, you feel comfortable sitting down in a chair and perhaps even accepting the hospitality of the host if they offer you coffee or they offer you something to drink. And you enjoy your sitting there and talking to people. But if you walk into a home and you can, for instance, smell something that is stuffy, it smells stuffy, or it smells like dog or cat, you know, if you've got a pet, and the kitchen has got grease or something about the place puts you off. You don't want to even sit in the chair for fear that you're going to, there might be dust or dirt or some kind of filth. You're not going to sell a house like that. And so what's going on in America today is that we have a generation of women who have forgotten how to make a home something that you want to actually go into and sit down in.
You're talking about a stranger.
It could be a stranger. It could be members of their own family. I mean, if you look at how the home today, where kids don't spend that much time at home, the reason why they don't spend a lot of time at home, I would argue, part of that could be that they can't take it in the house. That their mothers don't keep a nice home.
All right, well, we're getting into that, and we're talking to Vernon Dozier, a high school educator from Glendale, California, on home economics. We're getting into the argument, though, that it's the woman's job.
Well, as I said, Phil, this is something that falls down primarily along gender lines. It's nothing that you're going to say, well, that's her job. It just so happens that that's how we continue to role play, if you will, in our society and marriages. We continue to assign to the woman the job of keeping the home, and we assign to the man the job of supporting the home. So I'm not saying that's right, but I am saying that when you walk into a home and you are not comfortable in that home, you're not comfortable with the way it smells, you're not comfortable with the way it looks, you have to hang that on. You have to blame the woman because that's traditionally...
So the home economics classes that you have reintroduced there at Belmar Academy are for young ladies to learn home economics as it relates to real estate sales, as it relates to curb appeal, right?
Yes, the commercial value of a home is affected, in other words, by how well or how poorly you keep that home. And right now we are dealing with a generation of women who keep a home so badly that when you walk in to that house, you can smell it. You feel almost as if it's a grime on you. And I can give you an example. I went into a home the other day because I went from I guess I probably two or three different stops I made looking at houses that were for sale, Phil. I went into one home that was for sale, and believe it or not, the woman was cooking, and I didn't know what the smell was. And I finally asked her, I said, what can you, and I kept a smile on my face because I didn't want her to feel that I was not, it wasn't pleasant, but I said, can you tell me what that, what is that? And she said, what's, I said, the smell. She said, that's lamb roast. And I made a mental note, a lamb roast. And I got to tell you, it was the most, it was a gut-churning stink. All right.
And this home was for sale.
And this home was for sale. And she was cleaning an aquarium with rubber gloves. So there was this green aquarium slime. And she had a dog that was, you could smell the dog. You could smell the dog out on the street. And you could smell the cat, too. So she had a cat, a dog, dog food, cat food, a lamb roast, and she's cleaning an aquarium, and her home's for sale. This is why homes aren't selling, Phil. It's not because the price isn't right. It's not because people can't afford it. It's because people are walking into houses that stink.
Well, you're saying is people are walking in a house. The American woman can't keep a home anymore.
That is what I'm saying. Yes.
Even though it's really not her job, it's no one's job per se.
No, I'm not saying that. But that's who ordinarily keeps the home. Maybe men ought to start cleaning the house, because the job women are doing now is so bad, no one even wants to buy your house. You can go and buy a house and clean it up. But if somebody doesn't even want to make the effort of buying your home and then cleaning it, as if the smell that they just smelled is never going to be gone from it, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I do understand what you're saying, and I recognize, and Vernon, hold the line, and I recognize the curb appeal argument and the commercial appeal argument of homes, and I get all of that. But to say that that is the primary reason why homes are not selling. So Vernon Dozier joining us, they're reintroducing home economics at their school because they feel girls, women, the female needs to know more or learn more or refresh herself when it comes to home economics, cleaning a house, keeping a house nice, because the real estate market is down in part. A lot of these homes are just not appealing to walk into. They stink. Or they're not kept well, or they're not vacuumed, or something like that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Your call's coming up with Vernon Dozier. And, of course, the question is, does it make sense to reintroduce home economics into high schools so that young ladies know how to keep a home better, so that houses sell much more successfully than they have? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, let me have a ripple.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
On the line with me is Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California. And, you know, Vernon, we talk about home economics. As I was telling my audience last hour, I said, I hadn't heard that. And maybe I'm backward, because I had a daughter in high school very recently, but I don't think I ever heard the term home economics.
Well, it is taught. It's taught in some schools. We had dropped it for a number of years. Because the thinking and the evolution of education, when you see women and young ladies who are aspiring to get into much broader path in life, sooner or later you have to allow for that.
Give me an idea. We're talking with Vernon Dozier about the real estate market, because this is really what you're talking about, that real estate and home sales are down because the average American woman can't keep a home pleasant enough for people to want to buy it.
That is, in my opinion, a big component. Women are, and I can give an example of how we present this in the class if you want.
Yeah, I'd like to. How do you say this? What is a typical lecture or presentation like?
Well, the first message that we give our kids. kids, the young girls, and we only allow girls in the class. I know that there are young men who want to take home economics because they may aspire to, at some point, a career in culinary arts or something. But this is what I've been able to tell the board. This is very important that we send a message immediately to the women. And once they get, if you will, their act cleaned up, then we can broaden it out. But the message that we give the girls is that you need to put your independence aside. You have to stop being really as selfish as you have been, because look what you have done, or your mothers have done, or your aunts have done to our economy. Being an independent woman is fine, and we encourage that. But we feel now, with home sales the way they are, the fact that an entire segment of our economy has come to a screeching halt because we have a generation of women that can't flush a toilet, don't know how to clean the grease out of a broiler, can't get the smell of a cat out of a chair, or the smell of a dog out of a the toilet area of the bathroom, or however you want to put it. So we have said to our young ladies, you need to put this independent woman thing aside at least long enough to learn how to flush a toilet. And I hate to put it...
Well, that's a little ridiculous, isn't it?
No, but I hate to put it that way, but we have got existing home sales down by, you can almost say 100%, because I know they say 50 or 60, but I would say 100%. It's almost as if they're not even selling.
All right, now, I wanted to ask you something.
And I just want to mention something about our assignments, too.
Go ahead.
For assignments, I'll make some of the girls, for instance, we can get the girls to clean a house. And generally, that would be like, for instance, my house, or it could be a home on a weekend. We have the girls come over. And they will come over, for instance, to my home, or they can go over to Dean Lynch's home, or to Headmaster Sinkew's home, and clean their houses. And I will say to them, I'm going to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. When I get back at 4, and I'll leave a dog smell, like dog feces or something like that.
I don't understand.
Well, what you're trying to do is you want the girls to make sure that they do a good job. So if you hide dog feces under a sofa, and they don't know what that smell is, where's it coming from, they're going to find it. And
all right, I want to interrupt you for just a second here, okay?
All right.
This is fine. This all sounds to me like there is a... It sounds to me like... You're not mocking these kids, are you?
No. Why would you say that?
Because it sounds like it's almost a game. These are young ladies, all right. You're saying they need home economics.
Well, Mr. Henry, as I said to you earlier, the roles were the roles. I didn't create these roles, and we still traditionally hold on to these roles.
No, I know. I understand that when you talk about how the traditional role of a woman is still to take care of the house, the man to support the house. But you're now saying that because of these existing home sales are down, because homes are not kept as nicely as they used to be, and this is all a woman's fault. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I understand how it's perceived that I'm being unfair, but understand that no matter what a man does or a boy does or other members of the family, the woman is the one at the end of the day. You know, Harry Truman, everybody likes to talk about how he has a sign that says the buck stops here. And I've often said to the girls, I said, Harry Truman had a sign on his desk that said, the buck stops here. I said, well, in today's modern American woman, in keeping a home, they should have a sign that says the stink stops here. If you wanted the stink or the smell or the bad smell stops here, because she is the primary home keeper, and she's the primary keeper of the hearth and the home and the flame and all of that. And so... I understand.
Because it sounds to me like it's all on a woman's shoulders. Homes are not selling. Real estate is down because women don't know how to keep a home.
Well, that essentially is true.
Well, all right.
See, I'm not sure why would you let women skirt responsibility for cleaning the house? Unless you're some kind of a feminist, which there's nothing wrong with that, but... I think first things first, if you're a feminist and you are allowing a home to turn into something that only a serial murderer would be comfortable in, you see?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Vernon Dozier about the real estate market and clean houses. We'll
Phil
be back.
Henry.
And we are back with Vernon Dozier, an educator from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, talking about the schools. And this is a private school that you teach at, Mr. Dozier, I understand, so that the reintroduction of home economics, I don't know whether or not that would be something that a public school would even attempt.
Well, I think that that's a very good point. We have the freedom to do. We have the freedom to be experimental. We have the freedom to introduce curriculum, and this is what makes, I think, so many parents want to put their kids in private school now, Phil. They have no faith in the public school system. To put your kid into a private school means you are going to not only have the top-of-the-line teachers and have the top-of-the-line curriculum, you'll have experimental, you'll have kinds of curriculum where we think outside the box.
All right, and so the home economics course that the girls are getting involved in right now is one that will teach better, what you're saying is, essentially how to keep a clean house.
No, sir. I think you're oversimplifying it.
Well, but that's really what you've been talking about. You've been saying that the real estate market, and the whole reason why you reintroduced home economics is to get young women trained so they keep a cleaner house, so that home sales are healthier, correct?
I'll put it to you this way.
But isn't that correct?
That is correct, but let me just put it to you this way. You're right in general, but I wanted to get specific. My brother-in-law is in the real estate business, and to say that he has had a very difficult time is to put it mildly. He has had a hell-on-earth time. It's been a hellish time. When a man is joking to you, you know, my brother-in-law joked to me once about, well, you know, the Donner Party, and I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you know how they were so hungry they ate human flesh. I said, yeah. He said to me, I'm not saying that that's how bad it is for me, but, you know, and he laughed. He said, I can tell you that if it ever does get that bad, I will have no problem eating human flesh.
Are you all right?
Please forgive me, sir.
No, I understand. What did he say?
He said to me that if it ever got that bad in the real estate business, he would have no problem doing what they did in the Donner Party.
Is he all right? Is your brother-in-law is not mentally ill?
No, he's just emotionally drained. That's all.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me take a phone call here. We have Joy in Biloxi, Mississippi. Joy, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a comment. I don't know what
yes,
he's
ma'am.
Talking about. Yes, I really don't know what he's talking about. The house is not being cleaned up. It has nothing to do with it selling or not selling.
Well, ma'am, you've heard of curb appeal, I'm sure, haven't you? You never heard
what?
The term curb appeal? You've never heard
yes.
the term curb appeal? You have.
Yes.
If psychologically, it is very important that when you're showing a home as a rent, what my brother-in-law tells me. I don't know if you're in the real estate game. Maybe you know, but it's psychologically important that when a person comes into a home, a prospective buyer, and the place smells like it's got dog, there's like a dog smell everywhere. It's not a very appealing thing.
Oh no, but you didn't talk about dog smell. You were saying that.
Well, no, I was talking about. That's what I mean. I mean, I'm talking about a home being presentable. If you want to walk in, I don't know when you do you clean up or does your husband? If you don't mind me asking, who is the primary person to clean where you live?
The primary person to clean.
Yeah, at your house. Is it your husband? Is it you? Is it, do you have
Well, it's me. I don't actually get too much
help. What I mean.
My husband don't
that's
do
what
much,
I mean.
And most men don't do enough.
That's what I mean. Most women.
Men could get off their butt and do a little bit more to help. People would have nice homes and very
well
maintained.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yes, ma'am, but I think that's an excuse that women use.
No, it's not an excuse.
Women,
it's true. It's
women
a fact.
Know that. But you do
women
recognize that homes are filthy
women's
now, right?
Women's work is never done. Women
well, wait
work
a minute. What did you say, Vernon?
I'm saying that the homes. This lady is acknowledging, though, that homes are filthy, and that they're filthy, and so nobody's going to buy a place that's. You know, it smells like you got. You know what I. You know what the lady. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Well, my home.
Well,
is
you know, I know. I know that when we were when you're looking for a house to buy a house. I remember I was looking for a house a few years ago, and they had shag carpeting in the house. It was from the 70s.
Yep.
And shag carpeting is gonna it's gonna hold odor because it's that big long carpeting. And I remember walking down into this living room and smelling this shag carpeting and thinking. Man, I don't dig this house at all. It not like I couldn't tear the carpeting out if I bought it, you know?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, see? But this lady here, Joy, she's laughing about it, but she knows. You walk into a home, and it's stinking. What are you laughing at, ma'am? See, if it's my house, and I can't sell it because my wife, because it stinks like there's a dead body in it.
Yeah.
If my home smells as if I've got a corpse laying in it, see, she's laughing about a dead
Right. Okay. If I'm going to show
will you let the lady
home,
finish? Go ahead.
Yeah.
If I'm going to
show your wife.
If I'm going to show your my home, it's not going to smell like dog, and I probably have any shag carpet removed. That goes way back in the 60s and 70s. I don't think anybody has shag carpet anymore.
Is that right?
Yeah. You know.
Well, you keep on dreaming.
Keep on dreaming. All right, Joy, thanks so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
What's with all the laughs? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, you're making it sound like because a house smells like dog, it's not going to sell.
I'm telling you what I know about the psychology of selling houses, okay?
A moment ago, we were talking about home economics, weren't we? And we were talking about what young people need to know.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about.
All right, so all of a sudden, we're going from home economics to the selling of houses, and you're an authority on that.
Mr. Hendry, I don't need to tell, first of all, excuse me.
Oh, that was nice.
I'm sorry. I've got acid reflux. I don't need, jeez.
All right, just go ahead.
I don't know what I ate. I don't need.
Just go ahead, sir, please.
I don't need, if my brother-in-law looks at me and tries to put a laugh on a tragic situation, like having to cannibalize his own wife.
Oh, get out of here.
Get out of here what?
Oh, come on. Real estate is so bad.
Are you laughing at my brother?
Yes, I am.
Are you aware of what's going on in the real estate business?
Yes, I am.
No, really, really. Do you really don't? Are you really aware of what's happening in the real estate business right now?
Yes, I am.
No, you are not. No, you are not.
Yes, I am aware of what's going on. It's a very, very down market. It's tough, man. It's really, really tough. I get it.
Oh, Mr. Hendry, it's tougher than just tough. It's worse than tough. I have a brother-in-law who was joking about the Donner Party. All right?
He's joking about it.
He's joking because he doesn't want to scare me. Now, I'm telling you...
Oh, get out of here that he's going to resort to cannibalism.
I'm not saying that that's what he's going to do, but I'm saying that that's how frightened he was. He knows. You know, I tell you something. Does this sound like a joke to you that he was telling me which part of his wife...
All right, look, I don't want to talk about cannibalism anymore because I think what you're doing here now is you're trying to cover up the fact that you've taken you're taking a new generation of females, young girls, young women, and turning them into Betty Crocker again.
I'm not turning them into Betty Crocker. You heard what the lady said, that it is the woman's primary duty to clean the house because the men are lazy. I'm sorry that that's the facts, but that's the facts. So when you walk into a home, and if you saw the news story that I saw, you wouldn't be joking. Because in Cleveland, Ohio, about 2 months ago, they found dead bodies everywhere. Now, do you think that was a well-maintained home? Of course it wasn't. Was it owned by a serial killer? Yes, it was. Was it a man? Yes. Was there a woman anywhere within, a living woman anywhere within miles? No. The only women that were around it were dead. But the point I'm making is that if you want your house to smell like that, then...
Let a woman take care of it?
I would have thought that if one of those women been alive, just one.
You know something? I think you're kidding now.
What?
I think you're joking around now, okay? I think you're kidding because I think you realize you're never going to get this. This is one dog that ain't going to hunt, man, trying to get girls into home economics so they can clean up a house so the houses will sell.
You know what? The next time I come on your program, I'll bring a real estate expert with me so I won't be laughed at by you and your callers. Have a very pleasant, pleasant good evening, Mr. Henry, wherever it is you sleep. Something tells me that the devil's got a nice, hot... Forget it.
Mr. Dozier's mad. Oh, well, I'm scared now, man. Mr. Dozier's mad. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Still to come, Obama takes immigration off the table. I'll tell you why, too. It's a political move. 877-876-PHIL. My brother-in-law is talking about the Donner Party.
That's right. That's how bad it is.
Phil Henry.
No, he's talking about that serial killer back here on the Phil Henry Show. I'm talking to Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard about the serial killer, that Henry Soul guy. That guy was a serial murderer.
Yeah, but the point he was making is if the one of the ladies was alive, she could have cleaned it up.
Bud, you know, even you can't be that dumb.
What do you mean, man? The dead lady. No, if he says she was alive.
Are you talking about the dead bodies in that guy's house? If one of the women was alive, she'd clean it up? If any woman was alive in that house, she would have run screaming for the cops, which is what one of them did, actually. That's how they caught the guy.
Well.
You know, you gotta wake up, man. If one woman had been alive, you think that women, in other words, the first thing a woman's going to do is look around, smell a bunch of dead bodies, and go, well, we better clean this place up.
That's what he's saying.
No, that ain't what he's saying. He was joking about that. My brother-in-law is thinking about the Donner Party. I'll tell you, the real estate business can't be that good. And I was just, once again, regaling the troops here with the story of the house down the street from our house not too long ago at the very rock bottom of the real estate market when everything was just, you know, if you're a real estate salesperson, well, if you're a seller, things were not good. If you're a buyer, if you're a seller and you're a buyer right now, things are it's great for buyers, it's bad for sellers. But this was like super bad for sellers, super great for buyers. And this house, a block from the sand in Southern California, $350,000, that's unheard of. And it'll never be heard of. I'll tell you how unheard of it is. I ain't heard of it since.
But you did hear about it.
I saw it, yeah.
But so it's not unheard of.
It was heard of that one moment, and then it was unheard of after that, okay?
Yeah.
God, pain in the ass. Speaking of a pain in the ass, the oil spill in the Gulf, which started out last week, as you know, 200 barrels, and I thought, well, that's a walk in the park. They'll clean that one up, and it'll be nobody will be any the wiser. Well, now it's turned into a real cluster you-know-what. And they have, I guess this is supposed to make us feel better. Life Science and MSNBC has a list of the largest oil spills or oil gushers or however you want to call it in the history of man on this planet or since we've been drilling for oil. The biggest, the Gulf War oil spill. And you know that was when Saddam Hussein opened up the spigots down there and just let all the oil start to spill out into the Gulf. It was 1.5 million tons. Tons of oil. They're not measuring it in gallons here. There was one called the Ixtoc oil well, the Ixtoc 1 oil well, 454,000. The Atlantic Empress Aegean Captain, 287,000. The Fergana Valley, 285,000. I haven't heard of any of these. To give you the answer to the question you're asking, the Exxon Valdez is not even on the top 10. The number 10 is the Odyssey, 132,000. I guess these are the names of tankers. The Odyssey was a 1988 spill. It was an American-owned tanker. It split in two, 700 miles off the coast of Nova Scotia. The tanker spewed 132,000 tons of crude oil into the sea. Number nine was the Haven. A violent explosion aboard the Cyprus-based tanker, the Haven, killed six members of the crew and spilled 145,000 tons off the coast of Italy in April of 1991. The Amoco Cadiz, stormy weather drove the Amoco Cadiz, a large crude carrier, actually it's called a very large crude carrier, or VLCC. It ran aground on Portsel Rocks, a 90-foot deep outcrop off the coast of Brittany, France, in 78. That was 223,000 tons. And we're working our way up the list here. This number two on the list, the Ixtoc I oil well exploded in the Gulf of Mexico in June of 1979. The oil drilling platform then caught fire and collapsed, rupturing valves and making it difficult for rescue personnel to control the damage. The bad news is that most of this stuff happened many, many years ago. The most recent is 19 years ago, 1991, the ABT summer and one of the other ones I mentioned. So it seems like we've been doing pretty good, you know? I mean, I don't know what pretty good is, but it seemed like we'd had control over this stuff.
I wonder what's causing a thing to blow up now.
I don't know, bud. I don't know. I don't know what's causing these things to blow up now. We were doing real well, or at least as well as could be expected. Everything was fine. No big sweat, no big problem. And then all of a sudden, well, guess what? We've got an oil spill. Could it have something to do with the fact that there's a big debate about whether we ought to drill or not?
What's that? I'm scared.
That's right. Maybe some of these cats that don't want us to drill blew it up. I'm kidding. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, no, man, come on. You're a realtor, right?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. But, you know, they're all jumping for joy, man, all these cats that don't want us to drill. Look at this, an oil spill. Woo! Yes! I mean, I would. Oh, God. What a bizarre world we live in, you know? The very thing that you say you're opposed to, you're really kind of happy it happened because that's going to, you know, it's kind of like this Arizona immigration thing, right? The cats that really, oh, this is fascism. This is the worst thing that's ever happened. Have we got any profiling cases yet that we can tout so we can prove that it's fascism? So in other words, you don't dig the bill, but until a cop actually profiles somebody, you guys are, you're sort of twisted in the breeze, aren't you? Aren't you just kind of dangling there looking real stupid? So the sooner someone gets profiled, the better it'll be for you.
No, what are you talking about, man? Nobody want to get profiled. That's why they're against it.
They're against it because they think people will get profiled. Well, if they think people will get profiled, then somebody better get profiled, right?
Well, no, they don't want nobody to get profiled. That's why they want to roll back.
You can't roll back something and because it's bad if it ain't been if it ain't bad yet. Unless, of course, they find that it's unconstitutional, in which case it doesn't have to prove it's bad. It's unconstitutional. But if the law is constitutional, and there it is, this law that says get your ass back to Mexico or whatever the hell the law says, and people who are opposed to it say, well, it's a terrible law, it's a racist law, and it causes people to be profiled. In fact, you know, the very people that are screaming about this, I don't even think they know what they're talking about, because I heard a cat today say something that's very, very true. And, in fact, the cat said it on, I think it was C-SPAN. He was one of those callers.
Oh, he didn't like the black people calling on a Republican line. I remember that one.
No, that wasn't it.
What are you talking about, man? That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was 3 weeks ago. The guy calls up. He says, look, every time I go to the airport, I am screened. I am wanted. I have to take my shoes off. They're looking up my rear end. They're looking down my throat. They're checking every which way but loose on me, man. Aren't they? And I ain't committed crime number one. And I'm an Anglo-Saxon. White? Well, actually not Anglo-Saxon so much as I'm something. So I'm white. I'm all that, right? And sometimes I get Phil Hendry now. I get singled out as a possible, you know, we got to check through your bags. Well, why is that? Well, you know, don't worry about it. Well, come on, man. I got to make it. Just don't cause any more problems than you've already caused, Mr. Henry. Get down there. You'll get your bag in a minute. We're going to go through it. I want to see and, you know, I want to sniff the underwear, everything. So what do I say then? See? These guys are going to have to go a long way before they can prove there's been profiling going on under this Arizona law. And you people in Arizona, and I know that, you know, there's a, you got a very high margin of sissies in your state, but I suggest you dig your heels in on this one and make them prove that this law is everything they say it is. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876. Phil, don't forget our live video blogs from the Grenadines next couple of weeks.
Phil Henry.